Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, no, it's not. No, it is not Jason DeRussia. I'm Dan Cook, usually in the producer chair for 3 to 6, Drive Time with DeRussia. Mr. DeRussia off today. In fact, right now, I'm guessing he's probably trying to put up a large tent in the backyard for young Samuel DeRussia's graduation party, which is going to be this weekend. And in the wind that we have going on out there, boy, I hope somebody's videotaping this thing, because that could be all kinds of entertaining. Again, my name is Dan Cook. Thank you so much for being with us here on Drive Time with DeRussia. Big show planned for today. We're going to talk Twins baseball. We will do Dan Geeks Out, which is a new Friday feature. And, of course, Card to Sharks. That'll be coming up at 4 o'clock. But I want to start, obviously, the biggest story in our community, the biggest story potentially in the nation over the last week, is the shooting of a pair of Minnesota legislators, one of which died, and their spouses. And there's an aspect of this case that's been on the periphery and hasn't been talked about a ton. It will be talked about, I guarantee you, a lot more coming up. But it's been kind of grinding at me all week. And so, given the chance to host here this afternoon, I wanted to talk a bit about this. And that's simply this fact. The federal government wants to kill this shooter. They've said specifically that the death penalty is on the table, that the part of the reason that they've taken the case first ahead of Mary Moriarty in the Hennepin County Attorney's Office is because the death penalty is on the table. And I thought for a minute perhaps the death penalty was on the table because they could use that as leverage to try and get this guy to plead guilty and not have to go through a whole trial. Except as we see again today, reporting from Alpha News, they have a confession letter on this guy. They've got him completely dead to rights. So if they're leaving the death penalty on the table, it's because they intend to seek it. Our attorney, Joe Tamburino, who joins the show all the time, was in here earlier in the week saying that they're going for the death penalty in the Luigi Mangione case. He doesn't see any reason why they wouldn't go for it in this case. The federal government wants to kill this guy, and they're wrong. And they're wrong. And I'm going to tell you why. Now, I'm going to take your comments, and I'm going to take your calls and your text messages, so feel free to fire those up on the WCCO talk and text line 651-461-9226. But I beg of you first, hear me out. This is why it's wrong. What it's not is a bleeding heart liberal case on my part. Some of you are going to think that right off the bat. That's not what this is. I have no love for this guy. Put him in a 4x8 cell for the rest of his natural life. Give him an hour of freedom, you know, in the yard a day, whatever it is. But throw away the key. I don't ever want to know who this individual is or anything about them ever again. This is not soft on crime. This is not bleeding heart. Because it's not about him. My objection to killing this guy is about us as a community. It's about what kind of society do we want to be? What kind of people do we want to be? One of the other arguments you hear about the death penalty all the time is, well, what if it was a member of your family, Dan? What if this guy had killed a member of your family or shot a member of your family 8 or 9 times? Wouldn't you want the death penalty then? No, I wouldn't want the death penalty then. I'd want 10 minutes alone in a room with the guy. Let me handle it. I would want that, which is a fairly shocking thing to say for somebody with a pastoral education. But I think that's just a fairly natural human reaction in a broken world. That's what I'd want. But wanting it doesn't stop me from rising above that desire. Just because I want it doesn't mean that I can't stop and say, yeah, I get that instinct and I feel that way, but I'm going to do something better. I'm going to be better than this person. I'm not going to let the evil that this person did reduce me to their level. Because here's the thing, killing this guy, putting this guy to death, isn't going to bring the Hortmans back. It's just not. It's not going to cause the Hoffmans to heal any faster than they're already healing. And thank God that they're healing. We're going to talk about the statement that they put out today a little bit later in the show. The only thing the death penalty does, the only thing that killing this guy does, is satisfy our desire for vengeance. It's not justice, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not. As much as we try to talk ourselves into that, it's not justice. It is flat out vengeance. It's making ourselves feel better. It's an eye for an eye. You took a life, now we're going to take your life, and that's fair, right? It might seem fair, but it's not just. Former head of the Episcopal Church, Bishop Michael Curry, once said that justice without love turns into vengeance. He drew that same distinction. And when he says love there, he's not talking about romantic love or filial love or any of that kind of stuff. He's talking about self-sacrificial love. He's talking about sacrificing the desire that we have that comes very naturally to kill somebody that killed somebody else, sacrificing that desire so that we can rise above that evil. I believe evil is cyclical. It goes around and around and around and around. And the only thing that stops that cycle is when we choose to stop it. And we can choose to stop it in this case. We can say that the death and the injury and the pain and the suffering that this guy brought about isn't going to perpetrate forward, because he's going to be in prison for the rest of his life. He's never going to be able to harm anybody again. And we're going to know that we were able to rise above the desire to kill him in response. The feds are wrong to do this, to seek the death penalty. And then for the record, they have not announced formally that they will be seeking it. But dollars to donuts, that announcement's going to be coming. And when it does, I'll say it again, they're 100% wrong. They're 100% wrong to do it. It's vengeance. It's not justice. And it harms the very souls of us and our community when we become people that kill in response to killing. This isn't war. This isn't, you know, dropping bombs on Iran. That's a whole other ball of wax we could get into. This is somebody who's in custody, who cannot harm anybody, who we can convict and make sure never harms anybody again. And we can do so without harming ourselves in the process. That's my argument. 651-461-9226 is the WCCO talk and text line. I would love to hear your thoughts. I would love to hear your, if you disagree with me, which I suspect many of you will, and that is fine, I'd love to hear your justifications for it. I'd love to have that conversation with you. So give me a call, 651-461-9226, or send a text, whatever you want to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. Should this man be put to death? Yes or no? What do you think? It's Drive Time with DeRussia. This is Dan Cook on 830 WCCO. 320 on WCCO Radio. Dan Cook sitting in for Jason DeRussia, who's off preparing for the big grad party this weekend. Chris, I don't know if you're going to that, but I'm not looking forward to sweating as much as I'm going to sweat at this grad party.
I have not been invited, so...
Oh, okay, well...
I mean, I could always... You know, no, I'm not going to crash.
No, don't crash.
No,
it's going to be too hot. Stay inside. Stay in the air conditioning.
Yeah, well, like you, avid endorsement.
It's a Friday afternoon, and I know, you know, death penalty is exactly what people want to be talking about on a Friday afternoon. But this is, you know, a big part of this case, and it's going to be a big part of this case going forward. And so that's why I bring it up. And again, I think the federal government is wrong if they seek the death penalty against this guy. But I suspect many of you will disagree. So let's head over to the WCCO talk and text line. Pete in Minneapolis is on line one. Pete, are you with me? Are you against me? What do you think about this?
Well, I don't have a... First of all, you kept saying it's not justice.
Yes.
But you didn't say what justice is.
Okay, that's a fair question. You want me to answer that or you want to finish your comment?
I do. No, okay. I would like to hear it.
So I think justice is about harmony. I think justice is about restoring things that have been broken in society. And I don't think killing another person accomplishes that. I think protecting society by locking this guy away in a cell for the rest of his natural life works towards that goal. But I don't think it actually, I certainly don't think killing anybody does that.
Well, I think the actual definition of justice would be that it's people getting what they deserve. Mm. I think you've conflated justice and mercy, and we're called to be merciful. It would be just to kill him, but it wouldn't necessarily be right.
Okay, so if it would be just to kill him, then how do we square that with the commandment, thou shalt not kill?
Well, how do you square abortion with thou shalt not kill?
I don't.
It's wrong,
I don't.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
I don't.
Good. Okay, so we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
Well, there's lots of things that fall under the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And unjust killing, I mean, it doesn't specify whether or not you're referring to a human or not. And we accept that you can kill animals, right? You can kill people in war. There's acceptable times to kill people. Now, I think that the commandment refers to murder,
which is taking someone's life against their will?
Unjustly.
And again, then, so now we circle back to the argument of what constitutes justice, right?
Right.
Okay. So that's where we're going to disagree.
No, I don't think we're in disagreement. I mean, justice is giving someone what they deserve. It's always wrong to perform abortion. It isn't always wrong to execute someone. It should be avoided at all costs, but it isn't inherently evil. Abortion is.
Yeah, that's not a hair I'm willing to split, but I understand plenty of people are. And so I appreciate you commenting and expressing that, Pete. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for listening. Let's head over to Jeff, who's in Sauk Rapids. Jeff, you're on WCCO Radio, Drive Time with DeRussia. Am I off base here, or am I on to something?
Well, I missed the last couple of minutes here, so I had to run in a store quickly. So I'm
Jeff. Come on, your whole job is to listen to the radio, man. What's going on? You say you have a life outside of listening to the radio? What's the matter with you?
But I'll go back to where you started about not wanting to kill the guy.
Yeah.
My position will be clear about this: is I really don't care if the feds kill him or not. That's their business. But like you, who had a preference for 10 minutes alone with him, if it was one of your family members, I too have a preference. And mine is I'd like to see him suffer the rest of his life in solitary confinement.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And that doesn't fall under cruel and unusual necessarily to you, or do you just not care at that point?
I just think he deserves it.
Sure.
Personally.
See,
I'll admit it. I'm a little bit of a vengeful guy, and
sure.
I can be at times kind of a mean SOB.
And I don't, you know, and to, you know, what Pete said earlier, I don't blame anybody for feeling that urge, right, to seek that
right.
kind of vengeance on this guy. I just want to clearly define it for what I believe it is, which is vengeance and not justice, right? So. And I think it's one thing to say, yeah, I'd like 10 minutes alone in the room with the guy. It's another thing to actually go do that then, right? We can have that impulse. We can have that feeling. And then we can turn around and say, no, but that's actually wrong. I'm going to rise above it. I'm not sinking to this guy's level. We can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was, I don't know if you listened to Major Garrett's podcast about the FBI traitor.
No.
His name, what? Oh, okay. A guy named Robert Hansen.
Right.
FBI's worst traitor in the history. They put him in the Supermax solitary confinement life sentence. And it wasn't good for him. He pretty much went crazy. He had a pretty miserable ending, especially when he got old and in poor health. Sounds to me like that would fit this fellow just perfectly.
I can totally understand that, Jeff. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for calling in. Chris is in Brooklyn Park on line one. Chris, what do you think?
So I actually agree with you. I think the death penalty is a complete cop-out. If, you know, the person needs to suffer for their crime, they need to have time to think about it. So having them sit in, like you said, the 4x8 cell for the rest of their life, I think that's perfectly fine. On the flip side, you know, I don't know, I haven't followed it very much, but, you know, it's always a question of how much are we going to pay to house this guy for the rest of his life versus the death penalty. But in all reality, yeah, I think the person needs to sit there and, you know, think about it. And quite frankly, I'm kind of surprised the guy didn't go out suicide by cop. But
I'm thrilled that he didn't. That was one of the things I was worried about, too. Because the last thing that we need is either him shooting somebody else and hurting somebody else or putting a police officer in the position where he's got to kill somebody. So, yeah, no, I had that same concern. You know, I hear the argument a lot about, you know, cost, right? And there's two issues that I have with that. Does it cost more to, you know, put somebody on death row, or does it cost more to put them in a cell for the rest of their life. You see studies, I've seen a lot of studies that say it costs more to actually put them on death row, and that has to do with the series of appeals that go on with that. But even despite that, the bigger problem I have with that argument, and I'm not pinning this on you, Chris, I'm just saying in general, the bigger problem I have with that argument...
Like I said, I don't know the numbers, so it's one of those where...
But besides the numbers, Chris, besides the numbers, if we think through what that logic pretends is, okay, well, I'd be open to putting you in a cell for the rest of your life, but gee, that would cost a lot of money, so instead I'm just going to kill you.
Yep.
And if you hold life with any kind of sacredness, that, to me, it just that falls apart. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. And then the second thing I look at is, if we do the death penalty, and I know this is, you know, I kind of go a double-edged sword on this, but why do we punish his family? Because his family should still have the right to be able to see him and stuff like that. I realize, you know, the people that he murdered, their family can't see them ever again, but should we punish these innocent people that had nothing to do with it? Not like they were saying, Vance, go do this, Vance, go do this. So,
I'm
sure I'll get... flack that too, but
That's fine. I'll step in front of that flack for you, Chris, because I agree with you 100% in that regard. The thing of it is, if you kill this guy, the family of the Hortmans still doesn't get to see their loved ones, so it doesn't actually
either way
that's gonna be
like
that. So Chris, I appreciate you calling in, appreciate you listening, thanks so much. We're gonna go to Mike, who is in Waterville. Mike, what do you think?
I guess I have to disagree with you.
All right, hang up on him. No, I'm just kidding, please go ahead.
You know, you're using the Ten Commandments that God says thou shalt not kill, which would actually be murder.
Mm-hmm.
But in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, it says, Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God, made he man. And I guess if you are putting a value on the individual as bearing God's image, no matter what he's done, God still says he's to be put to death because he took the image of God away from that other person.
And you could cite, you know, vengeance is mine, so saith the Lord, and you could cite all kinds of stuff in the New Testament. You heard it said that eye for an eye, but I tell you, you know, we can go back and forth on scripture verses all day long. I think at the end of the day, I'd rather leave that ultimate judgment of life or death up to God and not have that be on my soul and on our hearts as a society. But I understand plenty of people disagree with me, and you know, that's okay. That's why I think it's important to have this conversation, because I'm not anticipating I'm going to change anybody's mind here today. But if we can at least think our way through this and try to really put some thought into it, because this is somebody's life that we're talking about, and however horrible the things he did were, and they were, and he needs to suffer for that, should we be in the business, should the federal government be in the business of taking the lives of its citizens? That's the question I want people to think about.
And I guess my part would be, God instituted human government for that. He doesn't allow me to go out and somebody kills a relative of mine. He doesn't allow me to go out and take vengeance. But he has given the civil government that ability to take that vengeance, as you call it, but actually, to me, it's justice for the individual taking the desecrating the image of God in the person that he killed.
I appreciate your argument, Mike. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for calling in. I want to leave that up to God. I don't think that should be up to us. I just don't. And I understand the argument about instituting a civil government. God instituted a civil government to protect society to the best of its ability. I don't know that it should be the government's job to take people's lives. And I think if you went through and you made a list of all the people, all the countries out there that have the death penalty and all the countries that don't have the death penalty, you'd see real quickly which list you want to be on. And it's, to me, not the one with the death penalty.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.